real test of the Rambam comes to Yom Alom Abed when you're going to be a philosopher. The best fashion. So the Rambam says, "What the Shaila is what mitzvah Rabbi Yonah was referring to." So the Rambam says he was referring to mitzvah's maggid. Rabbi Galil is part of maggid. The Rambam gives a whole formulation on maggid. The Marsha, and the truth is, this is reflected by the Ramban and the Melchama says this as well, that we're not dealing with mitzvah's maggid. We're dealing with the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, Mor. To properly be yaitzei, we have to be focused on what the reason. Apparently in the Ramban, it would seem it's a general rule in Eidos. Eidos, we have to be functioned on the reason for it. And Purim is a yontif. And we're so busy doing mitzvahs that it's easy to forget why we're doing them. No, yeah. I mean, of course, it's a mitzvah, it's a Shulchan Aruch, etc. All true. What's behind the mitzvahs that we're doing? What's the function of those mitzvahs? And they certainly were meant to have a function. These were created by human beings. They're not part of the Tariag mitzvahs. Human beings created them, so they had a goal in creating them. So at least one of them is rather obvious. At least the Megillah is obvious. Right? You find one man, the Omer, in the Gemara that says that why don't we say Hallel on Purim? The answer is we do. We just have a different Hallel. It's the Hallel of Megillah's Esther. The Rambam, in fact, cites this answer. The Pastors LaHalocha like it. That Purim is Mechuyev and Hallel. And the Megillah's Esther is the Hallel. So the whole Torah, what is a different halal for Purim than for the other Chagim? Okay, that's a different story. That's not for now. I don't want to go into that tonight. So there is halal. So halal is to give a door to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, in a certain regard, in the fashion in which he displayed himself at Purim, is of greater significance than the fashion in which he displayed himself in Mitzrayim. As the Ramban writes at the end of Bo, that the purpose of the Nisim Gluyim is a function, and that is to bring us to the realization that all the everyday things in this world are also Nisim. They only take place because it's a Dvar Hashem. That's the ultimate goal. So the inspiration of the Nisim Gluyim, but the ultimate kiyum is the realization that everything that takes place in this world is a direct tzivui Hashem. Purim is an es nista. No nisim gluyim on Purim. So ultimately the lesson of Purim is the ultimate lesson. Not just to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam day by day by day as the history of Klal Yisrael unfolds. And there the Rabbeinu Shel Olam lurks, hidden, veiled, but yet still accessible if we look carefully enough. We can write a whole Megillas Esther without one mention of Hashem. And it's a compelling story. And the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is veiled. When it says Hamelach without Achashverosh, it means the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to what has to be viewed at two levels. But there's no open mention of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam lurks. We see him through his actions. We have to look. If we don't look, it'll go right by us. The Melech will remain the Melech Achashverosh, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will remain mysterious and an enigma. So that's the easiest mitzvah. It's the easiest mitzvah of Purim. Is the mitzvah of Megillah. But there are many other mitzvahs in the day, and we need to contemplate what those mitzvahs are. We have Matonos Levyoinim, Mishloach Monos, and Chayvinish Lusume Bepuria, a very strange mitzvah. what's the function of these mitzvahs? What's the purpose? There are many that write, initially, I was familiar with this from Chassidus Hasfar, but I discovered it in Kadmonim to also make the same point. And the Receivers also makes the same point. That, you know, most things in the Megillah have to be understood at multiple levels. And Haman comes to Ahasuerus and he tells him the Jews are Mufuza or Mufayra ben Ahaman. Chomadina is Malchusechu. So in one regard, it's a simple political statement. You don't have much to fear from them because they're not a whole country. They can't join together to help each other. They're spread out over the whole kingdom. It won't leave a scar on the kingdom because there are a few here, a few there, a few in the next place. It's not like there's a whole area of the kingdom which they populated as this. And therefore, if you kill all of them, so then you're going to have a blight, a vacuum in the middle of your empire. No, there's a few here, a few there. Society will be quick enough to take up the slack. It's the simple reading of the Pasuk, and it's true in its own right. But it does not override the fact that there's a deeper dimension to that Pasuk too. And the Sefer spells it out, and others as well. That Haman told them that the Jews, divisiveness by the Jews is an art form. And consequently, what are you afraid of, Ahasuerus? That they'll actually get their act together and they'll appeal to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and the Rabbeinu Shalom will take up their cause. There's no way the Jews are getting together. They are a divided people. There's just no way in the world that they're ever going to get together. And by and large, it's a pretty good read of the way we work. You know, Lo Aleinu, in the Warsaw Ghetto, when they had to decide on the uprising, there were 45 different groups that had to sign up. And I stopped to realize that means there was at least a 46th group of those people that altogether didn't believe in joining anything. So 45 groups, under those circumstances, you had 45 different groups operating in the Warsaw Ghetto and they all had to sign off. It's just mind-boggling. But that's the nature of Klal Yisrael. So the Jews, they'll never get their act together. And he was essentially right. But what does the Gemara say? The Gemara said, G'dayla Asoras Tabas, more than the Memches Nevi'im. 48 Nevi'im came and they admonished Klal Yisrael. I mean, Klal Yisrael as a whole did not do tshuva. Klal Yisrael as a whole did not do tshuva. Yecheskel Anovi is at the very end of the Bayis Sheni. He's a contemporary of Yirmiyah. So 2-3 years, yeah, the episode of Asor B'Tavis was 2-3 years before the Churban of the Mikdash. A shaila in the Rishonim, it was a year and a half or 2.5 years. It's a shaila in the Mefarshim, how to read the Psukim. But more than 2.5 years before the Churban, so Yecheskel arises in Babel and he tells him, mark this day, that this day is beginning, that the siege of Yerushalayim is beginning. And sure enough, it happens. They find out, it takes them a good till Tavis, whatever, half a year or so, whatever, month, it takes a good few months until they find out that the siege started, and exactly on the day. Now, so this, as the Mefarshim tell us, established the veracity of the Nevuah of Yecheskel. And this was, in effect, the last hope, and one of the last hopes that Klal Yisrael would do tshuva. That now he was elevated among, from the all the Nevi'ei Sheka, and he said, this guy is for real. I mean, how in the world could you know in Bovel that 1,100 miles away in Yerushalayim, that the siege of Jerusalem began today. Impossible to know. And he told him, mark the day, so there's no fudge room, you know, that maybe he told him a day later, and it was a day, no fudge room at all. Today! Mark the day! Did it help? Gornish Gahov didn't do anything. Doilo Asoros Tabas, that that the Melech gave Haman the right to kill all the Jews, this is what shook them out of their lethargy. All the Musar, all the Techocha, all the Ravim garnished. Nothing happened. Didn't help. Stop anywhere. Chidim that did tshuva. Not to say that, but the bodies on the whole did not do tshuva. Under a threat of annihilation, then they perked up. So, Kedoy lahasoras tabas. Small. So Haman was right, but he didn't realize that the very means that he would use was itself the cause that would trump that which he thought. So that's the way the Lerm Pshat. What did Esther do? Is Lech Knoises Kol Yehudim, Nikal Hua Yehudim Ba'arehem. They drew together. Klal Yisrael actually came together and they all consented. It's a wondrous thing. They all consented. They're going to fast on the 14th, the 15th, and the 16th of Nisan. I mean, how Mordechai and the Sanhedrin are the authority, the stature to pull this off is just is amazing. I can't understand how they did it. You're coming to all the Klal Yisrael and you're telling them, listen, you know, tonight's the Seder. But no Seder this year. We're fasting. It's off the map. I mean, you would think that at least there'd be a sizable amount of people that wouldn't listen. They would bristle at the idea. The Sanhedrin would be split. Somehow they managed to pull it off. Everyone acquiesced. Somehow. So this was the refuah. The refuah was that Klal Yisrael joined together. And we had a joint spiritual agenda. I had occasion this past Shabbos to pick up from my desk the parish of the Chosid Yaivetz of Ovis. So in the first parak we have Hillel says Al Tifrish Min HaTzibur. So the Chosid Yaivetz says, don't think that we're dealing with a guy that has no respect for the Tzibur and Ramayli is off to do his own things, he doesn't care about the Tzibur. He says, I've already told you, he writes, that Masechet Ovis is addressed even to a person that's a Chosid, meaning that his entire Avod is Lefni Meshur HaSadid. Such a person doesn't have thoughts to be perished from a tzibur. Ella, there were times he may not join the tzibur because of his own personal pursuits of his avoda doesn't fit. And therefore, he'd rather at times isolate himself and sit apart. Not because he doesn't share the agenda of the tzibur, but that his own agendas will be interfered with if he joins the tzibur. So Hillel was telling him about tifresh min tzibur. He says, and the first thing he says, when Klal Yisrael has a tzorah and they come together to be mispalo, you have to join them. Why? Because if you don't join them, you're going to miss out on something phenomenal. He says, when Klal Yisrael comes before the Rabbeinu Shalom with tefillah, in a united sense, that's the tzibur, then the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't look at Mumei HaRashonim, he says, at the deficiencies. Deficiencies of the Rishon does not take note of it. That Chazal Basher Rishon that you have by Hogar and Yishmol, if someone's mispalo, especially the Tzibur is mispalo, the Rabbi Rishon doesn't look at what took place, the antecedents, what was earlier, he doesn't look at what's coming later, the Rabbi Rishon is focused solely on that moment. And that tefillah is Mekubal, it's an Eis Rotzen. So the person that joined together in that tefillah, he will share in tremendous chasdei Hashem, because the Rebbeinu Shalom is a tremendous midas harachamim that comes from that moment. So whoever was part of bringing it will share in the effects of that midas harachamim. So this is when we come together, when we join together to be mispalo. Tzumu alai v'al tochlu v'al tishtu shloishes yomim laila v'yoyim. So Klal Yisrael managed to pull together. And this was the schus that Tfilas were makubal. And why we have Tainus Esther? As I say, we don't have a clear reason. There is a medrash apparently at Tanchuma that suggests like one of the pshatim and the Rishayim has to do with the day of Melchama. But the Rishayim are all over the map with what the reason for Tainus Esther is. The most incisive is the parish of the Kolbo, the Rishon the Kolbo. That's when the end of the Megillah writes that they wrote of Divrei HaTzoymos V'Zaakosom, of the fast days and the Tfilas, that's part of the celebration of Purim. Part of the celebration is recalling the Tzoymos V'Zaakosom, and that in fact we commemorate and live that part on Tainus Esther. So in effect, Purim is a two-day yontif. It has the day of reflection and penitence, which is in Tainus Esther, and the day of exuberant celebration, which is on Yud Daled. So the Divrei HaTzoymos V'Zaakosom, the fact, everything that had to do with the Tzoymos V'Zaakosom, that we pulled together, we joined together, we was parallel jointly to the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is part of the commemoration of Purim. Now from that standpoint, we can understand these three of the mitzvahs of Purim. The Mishloach Manos is to strengthen ties. There's even such an Indian, the truth is, in the Gemara and Beya, on Yontif, they sent Manos. They sent gifts to each other of, you know, edible things. There are things that could be used on Yontif. It's a sort of reyus to reinforce the social contract. You know, we're one entity, we're one community, we're one family, we're one people. So that is the union of the Mishloach Manos. Right? You give someone a gift, it's a sign of friendship. And it brings forth a positive response from people. I saw once there were two people that were engaged in a pretty heavy dispute. But it was not at all personal, it was a Lashem Shemayim dispute. There was a problem between two people, and two people saw it differently about whose side they should, who is right in this, and who they should assist. So they wound up on opposite sides, two people that were quite friendly with each other. And it produced a strain, even though it wasn't personal, but it produced a strain. And this was a long-running problem. It ran for about 2 years, this misadventure, until it ended. So after it ended, one of the parties, the children of the other one, came to him on Purim. So he sent a bottle of wine to the one that was on the other side as a shalach manos. And that put the relationship back in proper order. You know, tokens of friendship are not to be underestimated. They're important. What's unexpressed is unheard in this world. Even if we believe it's self-evidently true, but it remains unheard. We have to express it. Shloach Manos is that expression. But Mishloach Manos has a deficiency in it. And that deficiency is, and what's the scope of my Mishloach Manos? Is the people that are like me. Those are the ones that I'm likely to send Manos to. You know, the down and out homeless guy that's sleeping on the street, I'm not sending him a Mishloach Manos. I don't have anything against him. He's just not one of my guys. It's not going to happen. So, inevitably, the downtrodden, particularly, are left out. Who bothers with them? Who notes them? So, the halacha insisted that we have matanos levyanim too. That in the spirit of the celebration, we extend ourselves to the impoverished. How could we have sudas purim? And my brother doesn't have what to eat today. How could a person celebrate? If we truly looked at everyone in Klal Yisrael as Bonim Atem Lashem Elokecha, and not only Bonim, there's Yerushalmi in the dorm. Yerushalmi is phenomenal. Yerushalmi talks about Lo Sikom Velo Sita. So the Yerushalmi gives the following moshul. A butcher was cutting a piece of meat. So he held a knife in his right hand and he was cutting the piece of meat. The knife slipped and he cut his fingers on his left hand. So the left hand decided a chutzpah of the right hand. So the left hand took the knife and now sliced the fingers on the right hand. I'll take the kama. That's the moshel the Rishalmi gives for the kama. Meaning if we understood that we're even more than bonim atam l'Hashem alechem, we're one entity. And a person wouldn't take the kama or use his left hand to take the kama from his right hand. So how could he take the kama from another part of himself? So if we understood, we would be imbued with that. We'd have a different perspective. So Matanas Levyonim is to take the downtrodden and say, we're not celebrating Purim and leaving them on the side. No, they also have to. The Matanas Levyonim was principally made for the purpose of supplying them with Sudas Purim. I think there's the Machlaikas and I think stem that how much of the Sudas Purim do I have to supply? And I believe the pshat in the first day that the Shari Tshuva brings, that he says you have to give like the equivalent of 3 bayim. So I believe his point is that I have to give the size of a meal. Small meal, but I have to give the size of a meal to an oni. And that's the reason. You know, others hold that it's I only have to be part of the collective. In other words, everyone will give him a little bit, and Ramela, Sahakol will get a meal. I'm not mechuyev to do it on my own. So I think that's the machlokes between the days. You know, a person that has the ability to raise money, to go around door to door and collect, so I'm not mechuyev because he knocked on my door to give him day machsera, to give him everything that he needs. He has other people that can help him too, so I have to do my share. So that's the shayla, how far chiyuv devolves on the yochid. The first day in the Shari Tshuva apparently holds that I should supply him at least with a minimal suda. So that's matanas levyonim. It's on the day that we're celebrating the victory of Klal Yisrael. What was the victory in Klal Yisrael rooted in? Is nikalu ayudim borayim. Knois is called ayudim. It came together. If we're celebrating our coming together, then I can't leave my brother in the state he's in. I have to do something for him. Some 40 some odd years back, I was perturbed by the mitzvah of Chayiv Inish L'Sumeh B'Puria. We'll talk a little bit perhaps about what the halachic parameters of it are in a moment. What's the point of it? What's the point? You know, we're not here l'havdil to have a Jewish Mardi Gras. You know, in non-Jewish societies they have a notion that, you know, in certain limited times, like, you know, you can do whatever you want, basically, you know. And then, you know, to let off all the pent-up steam and energy, and then a few days later you go back to normal and you got to live your life till next year, you know, like a mensch. That's the approach of many societies in this world, but it's not the approach of Klal Yisrael. So what did we want with Chayiv Inish L'Sumeh B'Puria? What's its... First, before we explore its parameters, but what was its purpose? For what reason? So this perturbed me. So I asked one of my rabbeim, the Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim, Rav Avraham Knarek, Shlita, what's pshat? So he told me that he saw in Sfarim that Purim is the time to be Mabar Reyes and Shalom. A lot of times divisiveness between people is rooted in petty things. You know, there are fights in life that are real, meaning that the real issues and heavy issues that people are fighting about. You know, people feel one person cheated them out of tens of thousands of dollars, or assured a Yerusha, or whatever, or embarrassed them in a very vicious way. I mean, there are real issues in life, too. But most of the divisiveness that takes place is for pettiness. It reminds me a little bit, the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal once told me, he says they asked the elder Yidna, an 85, 90-year-old lady, on Erev Yom Kippur, she says, so what are you doing tshuva for this Yom Kippur? What chatam can you do at your age? She said, said, you don't understand. He said, I have my chatan too. They're just different than your chatan. I don't have the same chatan that you have, you know, that a younger person has. What are my chatan? This son-in-law called me to wish me a good yontif. This one didn't. You know, I have my cheshbonos with the world, you know. But it's a time that we want to be marbarais. But most of the divisiveness which takes place is for petty reasons. Petty slights, petty things, things that were misperceived, misunderstood, or even if the person did it, there wasn't evil intentions. And then at the end of the day, there was no big shakes anyhow. It was remarkably forgettable. And yet, we have tension with people. So when a person gets a little buzzed, so he loses a little bit of his inhibitions. And sometimes that's in a good way too. And he's able to transcend himself, transcend the pettiness, and to restore shalom. So a few years after he told this to me, I was sitting in a Suda's Purim with many other people. And there were two guys at this Suda's Purim that it was known that they didn't get along with each other. In the middle of the Suda's Purim, both of these guys got up and they started to dance together. People in the order to fall off their chairs, like, you know, because they were aware. I knew both of them, and they knew that they were not on good terms. And that's it. And then the problem went away. And, you know, for years and years since then, they've been dealing appropriately with each other. And I saw it happen in front of my own eyes. So that's the union of Chayav Inish and Masubi Rapur. Sometimes, you know, we have to let the hair down a little bit, you know, so we can transcend the pettiness. The stiff formality that we have in dealing with the whole world around us. Now, what is this mitzvah of Chayav Inish L'Suvei V'Poriya Adelo Yoda? Now, it's very interesting, the Rifat HaTalmud, Rabbeinu Ephraim. Now, I don't know that we independently have Chidushim of the Rabbeinu Ephraim. The only place that I've seen the Rabbeinu Ephraim cited is the Balamor tends to quote him. I don't know where he knew Rabbeinu Ephraim's Torah from. Maybe there was a Ksaviyat at his time of the Torah, but in different places, he cites the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Talmud of the Rif. So what does the Gemara say? And then I'll tell you what Rabbeinu Ephraim did with this Gemara. So we have first the Maimor and Shas of Chayav Inish L'Suvei V'Poriya. So, which clearly means a person should drink significantly. Then the Gemara relates the following story, that Rabbah and Rav Zeira conducted Suda's Purim together. And Rabbah got a little freilich. He says, "Come, Rabbah, b'shachtei l'Rav Zeira." Whether it means he killed him or he injured him seriously, however you want to learn pshat. But it was a precarious situation. And when he came out of a little bit, he realized what he did. He was mispalel, and Baruch Hashem, Rav Zeira had a refuah shleimah. Well, he recovered. The next year, Rabbah goes over to Rav Zeira and says, "You know, the Suda's Purim last year was a blast. You know, I think we should do it again." And Rav Zeira tells him thanks and no thanks. You know, Nisan don't happen every year, so this year I'm staying home. That's the Gemara. So Rabbeinu Ephraim says that the Shas related the story of Rav and Rav Zeira to tell me that they changed their mind. That we're not Roy, who no matter who we are, to go to drink to that extent that he initially called upon us to do. That's what Rabbeinu Ephraim writes. The Prichodesh was Rav in Yerushalayim about 275 years ago. And the Prichodesh says, on the face of it, in the Sugi, he says Rabbeinu Ephraim is not correct. The other Rishonim are correct. Why, he said? Because if they changed their minds, so why was Rav Zeira afraid to come back next year to visit Rava? They buried it. So he said the following. He said, In the sugya, he said, the other mafarshim of a better pshat than Rabbeinu Ephraim. But halacha l'maisa, he said, we should follow Rabbeinu Ephraim. Since we're not roy, we're not on the madrega to say that we're going to do everything that's fully appropriate, and therefore we have no right to do other than what Rabbeinu Ephraim said. And that's what the Rambam says. We should drink a little bit more than usual and sleep a little bit, and that's how we should be yaitzei ad lo yoda. Now, I think what the Rabbeinu Ephraim meant in his pshat in the sugya was the following. He was not talking about Rabbah and Rav Zeira, what they personally did. Yeah, that is right. They didn't change their minds. They were imbued with Chayav Yiddish L'Suma V'Puria, and they didn't back down. Rabbi didn't change his mind. But the Shaila is something else. The Shaila is why Rav Ashi wrote this Maaseh in Shas. What was his point? Not what Rabbi was there for. Why Rav Ashi put this Maaseh in Shas? For what did he wish to tell me by putting it in the Shas? Why didn't he leave it out? So he says, the reason he put it in is because Rav Ashi wanted to tell you, scotch this Chayav Yiddish L'Suma V'Puria, segate this, it doesn't work. If Rabbi could wind up in such a situation, that, you know, what could the rest of us say? So that's the way I think Rabbi Ephraim learns the Gemara. I'll call upon him. The Prima Godim comes along, and the Prima Godim says the Prichodesh is Psak is correct. And that's in effect what the Chofetz Chaim says, to follow the Prima Godim. And Aruch HaShulchan is also pretty vociferous, you know, that people should not really get wasted. You know, a little bit, Rav Ozna defined that a person should get a little buzzed, you know. But to really get wasted, you shouldn't. Now, that to me is axiomatic for any number of reasons. First of all, the Meiri wrote the following, and I don't think anyone disagrees with this. The Meiri said, all of this is assuming that I'll be Mekayim all the dinim properly, meaning I'll bench appropriately at the end of the Sudas Purim, I'll daven Mincha properly, Marav properly. Everything that has to take place will take place appropriately. If I can't be sure of that, then I have no right to get involved in Chayav Yiddish L'Suma V'Puria. And that's not such an easy task, to be Mekayim all the mitzvahs karoit. I saw once, many, many years ago, that there were chevra that decided who wants to wait till the daytime. You know, when there's a mitzvah of Chayav Yiddish L'Suma V'Puria. According to the Rambam, it's not even in the daytime. According to the Rambam, it's a chelik of Sudas Purim itself. The way the Rambam describes it in the Yad. But there are those that decided, there's a reason makdim in the mitzvahs. Like, why wait till tomorrow? We'll start being mekayim the mitzvah tonight. I have a shayla. The shayla is the following. A yeshiva is a shayla. What's the mitzvah? It's the act of getting drunk, or it's the mitzvah of being drunk? Oh, so then maybe you could drink at night and be drunk in the daytime. See, we're mekayim out of the other. We could be miyash of them. I'll call upon him. So one guy decided he's Superman. So he climbed up and he was told to climb over the mic on the roof. And fortunately there was one guy, this guy is, if a lion wrestled with him, the lion doesn't stand a chance. This guy is an ox, a pure ox. He's a Yidah Talmud Chacham, but he's a pure ox. Physically, one of the most powerful people I ever met in my life. So he went, and this guy was climbing over the Micah, and he slept him off. And he hauled him down, and he put him into bed, and he went around, and he took all the chevra that were tanked up, and he tucked them all into bed. And then he tucked himself in bed. Now, so that's the last, well, a lot of these chevra knew of Purim.
Slept through the whole
day. That's it. There was Vayera, but there was no Vayivayka about it. It didn't happen. There was no Shachris, there was Tfilin, Megillah, Mishlei Achmonas, Matanas Levyeinim, Sudas Purim. They were Mincha Gaurish. They slept straight through. They did their job. Mama straight through the whole Purim. They didn't know what happened. No. So this is certainly not in keeping with the Meiri. And Bechlal, I have a Ha'orah. I have a hard time understanding how it should be taken to mean that a person should really get seriously inebriated. The most fundamental teaching of Torah is that the human being was given bechira, and he should exercise that bechira in all of his life. Now, we're not supposed to be carried away by our emotions. A seichel is supposed to rule us. That's the essence of what Torah is. It's its ultimate lesson. Tosfos writes in Brochus that it could be that getting drunk is not an Isra, but it's not appropriate either. Not appropriate. Why? Because a person is not in a seichel, he's impaired in seichel. So how could it be that there's a mitzvah for a person to totally impair seichel? It's the antithesis of the entire Torah. So ad kedekach, I wonder now that maybe chayv b'mitzvah ad lo yada means maybe up until the point. Ad lo yada b'chlal. Yeah, doesn't mean ad b'chlal, until that point. And as I said, many paiskim, the Ramah brings the daya that a person should drink a little bit more than usual, and that's it. And the Chabad Chaim paskins like that, the Prima Godin paskin like that, the Chodesh paskin like that, the Aruch HaShulchan paskin like that. So, the issue is that when we do a mitzvah, is to at least be cognizant of its purpose, what we're out to achieve. If we're not aware of what we're out to achieve, then we'll probably achieve nothing. So, Purim, the basic yisayin of Purim is the joining together the achdus of Klal Yisrael. In many different levels, the tzaymus, the zakosam, the social compact afterwards, which also was to carry out, to emphasize our responsibility to others. So this lies at the very, very heart of Purim. One final thing, I've mentioned this many times before, but it's phenomenally important. As much as we involve ourselves in exuberant celebration throughout Purim, the tefillahs should be with the most serious demeanor. The most serious demeanor. It's a time of Yeshua, as the Maral writes. All the Yom Tovim, when they take place, the sight of that Yom Tov is replayed year in and year out at that time of the year. Cheirus, Kabbalah Sator of the various Chagim, in Purim, it's the Yeshua of the Rebbeinu Shalom. It says Man Yeshua. And because of that, a person can access the Shechina. So it's an unusual time to be mispalo. And I've mentioned upon other times that Mashvigas Ozizan Gizant is a craver of the Satmar Rebbe, the Dibra Yoyal, Zecha Tzalik Livracha. They come from the same family, just from the Ashkenazi family, they both stem from the Tolshe Varov. They come there. So, because of that, you know, the Rebbe couldn't conceivably have all his Chassidim come into his house on Purim, it would be an impossibility. But my Rebbetzin was allowed to come into the Satmar Rebbetzin because she was a Kroiva, she was a relative. My mother-in-law used to send Shalach Manos to the Satmar Rebbetzin, Alei HaShalom. So my wife was the Shliach, she brought the, so they let her in because she was a Korov, a Kroiva. So one year she was there when she was a young girl, in the afternoon on Purim, and she observed that the Rebbe was sitting with a bunch of people and he was being mispalim, was crying together with them. These were all people that were not yet zoichet to have children. He had a special time that they could come, they were led into the house on Purim, and the Rebbe sat down to be mispalo with them and to be mechazik them. Because Purim is his man of Yeshuas. So we have to remember that as much as we celebrate the rest of the day, the tefillahs need a very, very special emphasis. A very special emphasis. If someone is the rear yochid that has nothing in his life that he would like to be better than it is, I don't know such a person yet. But in case you are that rare person, that everything in your life is so perfect, that it's fine the way it is. So at least to be mispalo for Klal Yisrael. We're not living in easy times, Rabbi Yisrael. Not at all. And we don't know what the future brings. The only thing that we have, and that's not, I shouldn't say only thing, because that's a pretty big thing, because Ein Lanu Lishon Ella Alavinu Shabashamayim. The same Rabbeinu Shalom that has sustained us for the last 4,000 years will sustain us somehow, you know, against all the challenges that Klal Yisrael will face. How and what and when, that we need a lot of Rachmei Shamayim. A lot of Rachmei Shamayim. So Rabbi Yisai, my wishes for a Freilich and Purim, that we should be zeicha to celebrate with each other and with the Rabbi Yisai.